Greetings in Jesus' precious name. You know, oftentimes I open up my message or preaching with the thing of Jesus' precious name. And then I sometimes wonder if I understand that fully, the precious name of Jesus. Precious name of Jesus. Ephesians has a few words that I'd like to just share with you. As we were fellowshipping and going through, I feel like I'm going through instruction class, going to these meetings. But he gives us a verse here in Ephesians 2, verse 6, "And hath raised us up together to make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I put a lot of faith in that. You know, this afternoon, I was just thinking about my journey of life, being nourished up in the words of faith. You know, each one of us has a reference that we go back to. Growing up, maybe things that you were taught. You might even be able to tell me the date, place, and time where you were born again, where you know that the Spirit came down upon you so hard you couldn't do anything about it anymore. I guess I didn't have that. And I, of course, was baptized when I was in age 19, and I don't know if I received the Lord at that time as much as I did when I was about 30. There was things that happened in my life. There was some changes that happened, some reverses that happened that opened my eyes. There was some things that happened that I feel was this word nourished happened for real in my life. Nourished up in the words of faith. I don't think it has as much to do with what age we become to understand some of the faith as much as if we did. Do I have the faith? Am I living by the words of faith? Nourished up has this idea of being raised up, promoted, developed, trained, bringing up, sustaining, giving the food that is needed to understand this horde. I was thinking also of, we had some really good messages already. Connecting with the church laity, being in one, and then the message of the ordinations and also of ministers being led. But this thing of faith, if it's not in place, all this stuff that we heard, I think becomes useless. It has no grounds. There's nothing that I can go back to if I don't have this. I'm talking about the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other faith out there that I was, as you meet people, and even James says, even the devils tremble in fear. They have a sense of faith, but it's not the faith that will take them to eternity to meet Jesus Christ. The other thing that I was caught with is the thing of nourished up, and that has the idea of some action. John 4:14 says this, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life." There's some action. There's something flowing from individuals that have this hold of this faith of Jesus Christ. Ephesians also in chapter 3, he says this. Oh, I'd like to just read the whole chapter, but let's start in verse 17. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." This thing of this faith, this is where it's based on. This is exactly what I'm talking about. To understand the love. You know, recently I was really challenged with working through some situations in church life. And I was thinking, you know, how many times would I save myself a lot of grief and a lot of pain if I would just deeply understand and have love like Jesus Christ had before he went to the cross for my people? And why I say that is because after I was going through some struggles, I went to the story of the Calvary story. And if that doesn't tear somebody's heart, you don't understand the faith. You don't understand what Jesus Christ done for you if it doesn't tear pieces off and leaves you really feel crushed, undone. And then he says, do you likewise? Do you likewise? That's what he says. The words of faith. John 5:24. This is another one that I hang on really dearly is, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, notice the word there, word, and believeth on me that sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Being nurtured up in the words of faith has so much hope for us. There's so much in here. But it's not a special revelation or a special vision that I have to go out into faith. He says it's written. The written word is here, is established, and he goes so far to say in Revelation 22:19, and if any man shall take away from the word that is of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the life, out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Even the promises that he has given us today to sit into heavenly places, he says, I'm going to pull them away if you think you have a special revelation beyond what I have written for you right here. That's a challenge for me. It is, because all the way back in Adam's time. Now let's think about a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Let's go to James 2:17-20. Here he talks a little bit about faith. Actually, he talks a lot about faith. Verse 17-20. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Thinking of the thing of growing on this subject of faith. If I'm still where I was at 5 years ago, or back when I was maybe the year of when I would turn 30 and I was telling you about how that faith, if I'm still there, well, friends, I am pretty stale. I have locked down and I'm not growing. And I am doing the thing of having works and no faith. And he says, friend, that is not how it works. He says, if you're not growing, if you're not gaining the next step, you are dead. It reminds me of a little story of I have a really good friend, and he said he was silenced due to the thing of he started preaching the new birth experience, the power of Jesus Christ in people's lives, and the rest of his followers didn't like it, and his one deacon came to him, he said, brother, he said, don't you understand? We have been born into this. I was this way from little on up. What are you talking about? I need to be born again. He was like Nicodemus all over and never got the vision. Nicodemus at least went on. Well, the thing of it is that man thought with his works, with his plain dress, with his identifying with his culture around him, he has been saved. That's all he needed to do. That's not living out the words of faith. Because the words of faith also say that the devils tremble, like I said before. The devil would be so pleased if he could get us somehow to believe that if we just have some works, that's good enough. That's good enough. But that's not what Jesus says. Where did it start? I'm not sure. You know, it was a little bit like one of the brothers was sharing about laying on of hands when we become ordained. Do we see something come down upon us and then we're filled? Or is it a lot like Nicodemus, where Jesus says, you know, this thing of born again, this thing of being filled with the Spirit is like the wind. It comes and it goes and we never really notice what happened except the effects. See, that's the key, I think, is the effects, is growing up. He says, after the wind is gone, the trees are flat and the buildings are off the roofs. You've seen some effects, but you never saw the wind. Now, isn't that the beauty of, and I think so much of, I have a really good friend and he fell and, I was talking with him and he says, John, he says, God ain't gonna hear my prayers. I said, friend, he will too. And we had a little argument session right there. I said, I believe, I am fully convinced that Jesus Christ will, if you will be willing to open your heart and to confess and to acknowledge what you did, I am faith. I'm simple enough in faith that I believe that Jesus Christ will give you strength to become a better vessel for him. I feel like he's a free man again today. Did I watch it happen? No, it was like the wind came, like that spirit came upon him again and left. But there's effects there. There's evidence that the man is wanting to do what is right. He wants to grow in this faith. I don't know where it ever really started, where I gained faith. But I do know one thing, that I do believe that there's a Savior. And I need to make him part of my life if I want the difference between eternal life or hellfire. I think that's where this whole thing comes down to. But I think of the responsibility that's pressed down upon us as parents, as leaders, as what am I doing for the growth of faith in individuals? I had to think of, I can only imagine that sometime along the way that me holding my dad's hand or my mom's hand and walking down the road of life and they said, hey, did you notice this? Or I pointed out and said, what is this? And they said, because God made it. Because God made it. It's simple. It's a, oh, okay, there's a God. I know one time my mom told me that we were discussing scripture, and she said, you know, son, there's a lot of things in scripture that you probably don't understand now. And I said, yeah, that's right. She said, just do what you understand. That always stuck with me. Not that we stay stuck in that, but there's growth. Because the Holy Spirit is so powerful. It is so powerful. He takes me and he takes me to the scripture and I get a hold of a verse and I say, what does that mean? And he says, stay there. Just keep going. In faith, I will give you what you need to know out of this verse. Where does it start? I think we can go right back to Genesis. There is a man there that was put into the garden. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 20, I'll just take time to read that. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. You get the picture here? Adam walking in the garden and God walking beside him. I had to wonder of what all the questions went on between Adam and God. But you know, as Adam said, God, what's that tree over there? He said, that's the tree of life, and you daresn't touch it. Oh, okay. Why is that? Because I said so. You know, why does an apple tree produce apples or a cherry tree produce cherries? You know, well, in science, we believe that they blossom and they pollinate, and then there comes a cherry and an apple. That is important and that is real, but that is not the answer. It's because God said so. He said, out of every tree that I made, its seed will produce out of itself. Apples off an apple tree. It's because God said so. And I believe that as Adam walked through the garden, he said, hey God, do you notice, why is that flower looking so nice? He said, because I made it. And I made it just like that. And I think we're back to the place of where they made, where he ran all the animals in front of Adam, and there was nothing found for him. And God said, I got a plan. I have a plan. He says, I'm also going to create something for you. In faith, Adam believed that when God brought Eve to him, that was for him. Because God said so, and God made it. Genesis 8:22. Says this, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. You know, I'm thinking of the thing of raising or telling children about this, because really we have the privilege to nourish a faith that many, many people have no idea and have no clue what this nourishing up of faith is. You know, when my son asked me why does it get warm, or why is there winter coming? It's how God created the earth, son. And he says, oh, okay. It's the part of nurturing, the part of the food that he needs in his brain to understand that this is faith, there is a God in heaven, and he is really concerned about my soul. Mm-hmm. It starts at a very young age, right in the beginning of creation. Mothers and fathers leading children. But I think even further than that, there is no age limit to this nourishing up in faith. You know, we can go through the Bible. Adam was a full-grown man before he understood faith. He received a woman. They were old enough to be couples, right? They were old enough. But then you have the story of Moses. He was a tiny child, but it was faith instilled in his life that went for a lifetime through some heavy, heavy desert experiences. Then you have the son, and then they have the boy Saul. But the one I really like to look at is Nicodemus. In John 3, it talks about Nicodemus. There is no set age, and there is no age limit to those that become and start getting nurtured up in the faith. As Nicodemus was there, struggling with the idea that this thing is impossible, Jesus just kept right on talking, and he takes him all the way back to where his beginning of understanding started. And you know, I think that is where I need to come to. Just think of individuals that have no faith, that are grown men. Do you just accept that they start reading the scriptures and they understand Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ went to the cross, and they say, how is this possible? You're foolish even talking like this. I don't understand where you're coming from. That I really need to understand and really, really have the wisdom of God to take them back to where they can start understanding. That's where nurturing of this faith comes to, is from where he could grab a hold of it. So Jesus takes him all the way back to where he could understand, and then he takes him step by step all the way up. And we're told later on that he was involved in taking Jesus Christ down from the cross. It sank, and it stayed. Later on, we're told, and I don't know if it's the same man, that he ended up giving his life and losing all his wealth for the name of Jesus Christ. Something that went on. He had growth. Some of us had mothers and fathers. Others had dear friends and disciples of Jesus Christ that taught faith to us step by step. I still don't think there's any difference. Faith, works, and then it's salvation. I don't care really how old I was when I received the faith. That's not really important to me. Oh yes, I wish there was some things different. I just really appreciate it. And I can't thank my mom and dad enough for the things of faith that they left that I could grasp a hold and continue to grow. So much for my friends and also the loved ones that are disciples of Jesus Christ that brought things into my life and questions that, where are you going? Where do you want to go? Do you want to grow? The other thing that nurtured up in the words of faith that has done for me is, and that has convicted me of my needs, my great needs of a Savior that is very needed in my life. In James, he talks about, James 1:21, he talks about the evil that we committed. And he goes on and he says, but you know, there is no work that you can do that is great enough to override the evil that I've done. And you know, part of this being nurtured up into faith is understanding that I am still a very needy creature. I am very needy. I need the Lord Jesus. Jesus, please help me. The last but not least one that I have. Well, maybe I'll hit the other one. The other thing I'm nurtured up in the faith, nurtured up in the words of faith, is salvation is complete in Jesus Christ. You know, I think we're also bombarded with the thing of there should be something more. It should be more complex to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many, many books, and there's many, many programs out there to try and get people to become better Christians. That's a lame term. To become disciples for Jesus Christ. And that is so vain, because in James, again, the first chapter of James, he talks about, in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy that you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfected and entire, wanting nothing. Am I truly settled? Am I truly satisfied with what I know and where I'm growing at in the scriptures? In receiving that salvation, in knowing that there is power there to override any temptation that I will ever face. I wonder sometimes if I don't need to grow in that faith area. I do. I'm a needy man. I need to grow further than that. In Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Is that really ingrained in me? John 14:16, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The other comforter is the Holy Spirit. The last one, it creates within me a desire to pass it on. You know, we've been talking and been hearing about many things about going out, witnessing, sharing to those that are lost, those that don't understand and have no clue what the Lord Jesus has done for them. In Genesis 18:19, this is the Lord talking of Abraham himself. He says this, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after me, and that they should keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, each one of us, the Lord has spoken something of us. When we make that commitment, Lord, I will follow you wherever I go. I am broken. I am done. I need your blood. And he says, you made a commitment. He said, now you said, you told me that you're going to go on further. You're going to grow in this faith. You're going to spread this faith. The only way that I can receive this power of this promise that he has left me, and that is if I am willing to command my followers, my sons, my daughters, my household, and also the church to keep this, to keep following it. This is the joy that follows. 2 John 1:4 says, I rejoice greatly that I have found in thy children, that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. It's a great joy to watch those that have been faithful and are walking with the Lord. When victory is gained, share your testimony. There are souls that need a Savior. I owe thanks to my Father, to my mother and loved ones that have helped me grow in this thing of faith. I owe the Lord all my life.